Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this podcast is being offered to you here and recorded on February 27th, 2022. Oh, I'm trying to avoid what I have to speak about today because it's such an iffy and personal thing that most people have. It's about relationships. And I get a great deal of emails about, why don't you talk more about relationships? And then people will send me different scenarios of their own relationships and ask me through email, believe it or not, to try to solve their problem. Now, I don't do things like that. I have to be in front of someone. I have to have some sense of who they are and what they are. And I don't feel comfortable with doing this even over the radio, much less not being in person. But I don't talk about relationships too often on podcasts or radio programs or even TV programs because they're so personal and they're customized and you have to know the people involved and everything else. It requires a great deal of understanding, a little bit of detective work. Then there is the bias, the interpretations, the all sorts of things that people get involved in relationship that augment their reality of it or their depiction of it or whatever they believe it is all about. So there's always that. So dealing with relationships or trying to help people with relationships is a very, very difficult thing to do. Very difficult. I don't feel that there is any cure for personal relationships, but I'm going to give you some things that you have to look at on your own. And if you do, you see, for me, watching people in relationship, and I've been in plenty of them in my life, some I did real well and some I didn't do well at all. And I realized something about them. It has to do with your intent. It has to do with how things have changed in the human body, the brain, the chemicals in the brain, the state of the emotions, what you were looking for in the beginning of the relationship, how it turned out at the end, and why it turned out the way it did. There's so many variables. So I've got it down to one thing and one thing alone. I talked about it on a radio program recently, and here's what I said. You have to ask yourself, what do I put the other person through in order to be with me? What do I put people through in order to be with me? And I have to look at that and see where my level of maturity reigns supreme, if at all, because what we put people through in order to be with us can be very, very ugly. And we prop it up with all sorts of gimmicks in our ego that say, well, I had the right to do this, and that's not what I meant, and you know, all these other things. You said you'd do this, and you didn't do that, and it's a finger-pointing thing. It gets ugly. It really does. I don't do a lot of relationship work because I'm a teacher, not a therapist. So I don't really... I mean, relationships play a big role in people's lives. They do. But for the most part, that's all about lying and just being dishonest with ourselves and our partners. That's all because we're embarrassed by whatever it is that we were impulsed to do. So the first question comes from Mike. He does not tell me where he lives. What do you mean that we put people through us? what does that mean? And he's paraphrasing. I said, Mike, I have to ask myself, what do I put people through in order to be with me? Okay? That's the phrase I use. So you're asking me, what do you mean by all of that? I want you to think about it for a moment if you can. The kind of person you are, and I know most people prop up their ego and think that they are, you know, just the cat's meow, the delight of, you know, men and women, and that there's nothing wrong with them. They're cool or whatever, but really we're not. We're a genetic nightmare. And there's time bombs in us just waiting to go off as our bodies start to change and our brain starts to change with the chemicals in our body. And we start thinking different. We start believing different. Our interpretations of things are different. There are all sorts of dopamines are going on, serotonins, you oxytones. There's all sorts of things going on in our brain and the chemistry of our brain. So, you know, you don't know this is going on. None of us know this is really going on. And in the early years of my life, no one knew any of this scientific information of what was really going on. We just kind of, I think, flew by the seat of our pants, as it were. And we just thought that the person you met would be the same person you would end up with 30, 40, 50, 60 years later. It's not true. It's not true at all. And there are certain things about us that change rapidly around mid-30s into our 40s and 50s. It just starts becoming a blur. We become a blur. Our whole definition of ourself is a blur. We aren't the man or we aren't the woman we used to be. And we start going on and on and on about all of that. And we make it very, very ugly for us and other people. So when I am sitting with someone, even as a teacher, my work is not to put them through anything that is of the Gregory. And I don't do that anymore. I see what it's all about. I give this this example. Mike, I was having lunch with one of my students who I dearly love. We tend to meet once a month, all the men. And we go to a restaurant, we sit there and we talk about our life, our practice and football and whatever else we were into at the time. And he looked at me and we had just had a session where I was talking to him about how testosterone goes down at a certain age. And so there, the sex thing kind of goes out the window or is diminished. And erections are hard to get and all of that. You know, the guys are all talking about their change in their bodies and they're embarrassed. And my student looked at all of us, and we had just had a session the day before, and I had talked to him about the biological part of all of this, and he said, isn't it wonderful when your biology goes down and you can see over the hill? And I was never more pleased, more honored to have a student at that point than in that moment. And what he was saying is when the biology, the testosterone, starts going down and the drive for being aggressive and sexual and all that other stuff diminishes, you can begin to see over the hill, meaning see the bigger picture of your life. Therefore, you don't have to put people through that when you are with them. Biology, we put people through our biology. We don't even know we're doing it, but we do it. We put people through our past, our interpretation, all based on the chemical reactions that are going on in our brain and in our body that are diminishing and changing form, changing structure, changing the way we think. And so now certain things that were unimportant become important. And certain things that were terribly important aren't important anymore. And we're left with the reality of how we live in our body. So that be it, Mike. Don't put people through you. If you're going to be with people, live in your heart. Develop an authentic heart, not a human heart. An authentic heart. And it is the human heart that is the real mischief maker in our life and causes a great deal of regret. Thank you, Mike, and please forgive me. Namaste. Next one, last question. Randy, he emails me quite a bit. Can we really change to fit people's needs in relationship? And then he puts, I've always been a failure. A lot of us men have been a failure in that. I have been as well. Everybody goes through that. You have to learn about human instinct, and you have to learn that the first impulse that you have about any given subject shouldn't be something you act upon. You want to act upon intuition, not impulse. So when you start to look at the way we are and the way we live in this body and how crippled it is by the deterioration of our organs and the oxytocin and testosterone, in a woman's case, estrogen. When you start going downhill into your genetic nature, the genetics that you carry with you in your body, there will be certain genetics that will propagate a lot of, well, your parents and different points of view that you may not want to be propagated. They may not be in the best interests of everyone involved. And the ability to recognize that and to see it and to understand it is difficult because you have to have self-observation. You have to be the observer. You have to watch. How have I changed? What am I deteriorating into? What is the mentality I have, the mental premise, the emotional premise that you and I had when we were 15, 16, 18, 20, 25, isn't there anymore. It just isn't there anymore. Now it's a, you know, sentimental journey into why did I think romance was so important, or why did I think that being rich was so important, or why did I think being sexy was so important, or why did I think that defending my mother or my father, you know, all sorts of things that we go through in the course of our lifetime, all these things are there, and we miss them. We miss the opportunity to understand the nature of our body, the nature of our brain, the nature of our life. We miss because that's what we do. We live according to the body. It's a very dangerous thing. So when I am living according to the state of my body, and I can only live by the whims of the impulses that imbibe me to start living according to my family heritage and the traits of my family in my genetic nature, then you start to really realize Sammy Davis's song, What Kind of Fool Am I? You start really realizing, my behaviors and everything are changing. The mood I live in emotionally is changing. What is happening to me? It isn't you, it's the body. And it's very hard to have relationships with people when we are nothing more than a kaleidoscope of all sorts of different emotions and thoughts that have nothing to do with compassion, forgiveness, and love. And that's why a spiritual practice is so necessary. With that, you can understand the body and be gentle with it. You don't have to behave along with it. I've watched people transition into total hatred in a relationship as they grasp the handles of their genetics and ruined a wonderful relationship because that's what they believe they should do. I'm out of here. Tough subject. Please forgive me, Randy. I hope that helped. Namaste. Thank you for listening. Thank you for this weekend. Be back on the air next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.